Robert Haley stars as Charlie McMahon in Odds Against Tomorrow.
It's Amway or something worse.
Jolene, please.
I've seen it before, Charlie. Apparently sane friends swept up in a whirlpool of greed.
Hello, hello. I think we're ready to begin. My name is Rod Holden, and this is my IT specialist, Constable Malcolm Fieldstein.
Hi, all.
We ask you to join us tonight to hear about a revolutionary new investment opportunity.
Here it comes.
The only problem is the whole idea involves a lot of jargon having to do with computers and programming. That's why I hired Constable Fieldstein here. He's from the Toronto Police Computer Fraud Division. And I think even if you don't believe me, you've got to believe a brilliant young fellow like him. You see, I want you to seriously consider an investment in the sport of kings.
The what?
The sport of kings. Horse racing.
Yes, friends. We want you to help us play the ponies. Now, the true beauty of the paramutual system is that the track takes a fixed share of the bets, and everything else goes into a pool, which is shared by the bettors. Which means the odds are based on public opinion. And the greatest thing about public opinion is that it's usually wrong. We use an in-depth database to handicap the horses and highly sophisticated programs to analyze betting patterns. Malcolm?
In Hong Kong, this system delivers a 24% return on a very short-term investment.
That's a lot better than anybody's doing in the stock market.
This deal is so good, I'm personally buying 5 units.
Now, on-the-nose betting systems needs to raise a total of $300,000. We're setting up a limited partnership based on the sale of 30 shares, valued at $10,000 each.
It's going to cost $75,000 to set up the operational base. The remaining $225,000 will create a betting pool to be wagered at Belleville Downs.
Right. Now, Belleville Downs is a small track racing standardbreds. Due to its modest size, we've been able to thoroughly research and handicap the majority of the horses in competition. The hard work's already done. We can be up and running in a matter of weeks, and we'll start to generate income almost immediately. Malcolm? Tell them the best part.
Okay. Your investment pays back at the end of every race. Based on my analysis of the on-the-nose system, I believe the partnership will recoup within the first 2 weeks and double your money by week 5.
But there are only 3 shares left.
Come on, Charlie. Neither one of us could afford 10 grand, but we could split a single share.
Have I gone through the looking glass or what?
Okay. I was skeptical before the presentation, but Holden made a pretty good case for investment.
We've got the right technology, the right staff, and we are the first company on the scene in Ontario.
And you've put up $50,000 personally?
All my savings, and then I borrowed the rest from my folks.
What do you know about this Holden guy, anyway?
Well, I ran him on Google.
Seriously? That's a huge investment.
Which is why I gave him a complete workup. He's the real thing, Charlie. He knows more about computers than even me. His father raised standardbreds in Australia, and he pioneered online wagering systems in Hong Kong. This is the chance of a lifetime.
Okay. Where do I sign? Stitch in time clocks.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Malcolm. We millionaires yet?
Not exactly.
What happened?
There's been a fire.
The on-the-nose offices?
Not set up yet. Anyway, this is worse. Way worse. The stable at Belleville Downs, it burnt to the ground.
Mr. Dumont, what time did it start?
Around 2 last night. By the time the fire engines got here, it was too late.
How many horses were lost?
35. Oh. And I was just starting to turn the track around. It's a real setback.
It's not a setback. It's a disaster. My system is useless without detailed analyses of the horses running.
Well, they're 6 months up in smoke.
Ruthie, this is Ruthie Fisher, my handicapper.
So, what have you learned, Ruthie?
Well, I talked to some of the owners. Looks like they all plan to pull the surviving ponies out of Belleville. I think you should meet them, try and talk them into moving to the same track.
Hey, good thinking, love. We follow him and get a head start.
Yeah, if he doesn't burn out the next track, too. Who's he? This is the fourth track fire in 2 years. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Sure, fire in the stables, it's heartbreaking. The biggest nightmare there is. But arson? Yeah, I doubt it.
Why?
Those barns needed real attention for years.
I would think barns would be a primary concern for a guy running a racetrack.
Well, when I first took over the business, I could hardly afford to maintain them. And then when we get the slots license, raising the funds to build all this.
When did you bring the slot machines in?
Oh, about 5 years ago. Well, these machines can be very profitable, but startup costs are high. That's why I was interested in Mr. Alden's scheme.
On the nose to do increase the volume of betting at Belleville, which would mean bigger purses and more interest in the track.
So what now?
Now, I guess I'll survive. I just hope on the nose can do the same.
No worries, but we've got to deal with this arson thing. Can't afford to get caught twice.
Well, you should talk to Wilbur.
Who's he?
Wilbur, the handler. He's been working the backstretch stables for years. He turned in the alarm last night. Hey, Wilbur!
Yes, sir?
There's some people here want to ask about the fire.
Come over. Sorry, I've been playing this machine all morning. It's due. Can't afford to lose it.
Not a problem. Charlie McMahon.
Mr. Dumont says you were in the barn last night when the fire started?
Yeah, Lee's girl was a bit colicky, and sometimes when they get like that, I sleep over. Around about 2, I woke up. The barn was already full of smoke. I got some animals out, but by then the hay had started to go.
Did you see anything or anybody that might make you suspicious?
No, sir. Didn't see nothing at all.
Wilbur, how are the burns doing?
They ain't nothing special, Mr. Dumont. Doctor said bandages come off in a couple of days.
Jackpot. Congratulations.
$500. Doctor said I was lucky, but I don't guess this is what he meant.
You've been working at Belleville for a while, Wilbur?
A while, but I've worked all the tracks around hereabouts. Depends on who's got the need for a hand.
Yeah, anybody with Wilbur's talent with horses can pretty much, write his own ticket.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just nobody else wants the job. When I started out in Kentucky, you'd have 20 boys hanging around the barn just dying for a steady job. Kids these days don't seem to have time for much except video games.
I guess that's true.
You see them sitting in front of the TV, that joystick in their hand? Next best thing to zombies. Just like me now. Well, guess I better quit while I'm ahead.
I suppose our investigative resources here in Belleville aren't up to what you'd expect in T.O.
I don't know. I like the music.
My idea. Keeps everybody calm.
You have talked to the OPP about the other cases, haven't you?
Of course.
Do they have anything?
Arson is a probability in one instance, but there's no solid indication of a pattern.
Which one was arson?
The first fire, at Huronia Park. A real crude job, too. Somebody got into the basement of the new clubhouse, poured paint thinner over the floor, and poof.
Any leads?
Nope. Too many people going in and out of a building like that.
Much damage?
Yep, the whole gaming floor gutted. They've just reopened.
What about the others?
East Gilroy, the deep fryer in the old concession stand. Somebody forgot to turn it off at the end of the night. The whole grandstand caught fire.
Have they reopened?
Not yet, but they will.
And the most recent fire was 2 months ago in Newmarket.
They were building a new clubhouse, practically complete. A lot of loose construction materials around. Fire marshal said an electrical fire started it.
And they're rebuilding?
No, the owners were undercapitalized and the fire did them in.
That's too bad.
Everybody wants to get rich quick. They gamble, and it usually turns out bad.
Hi, Malcolm. How's it going?
We could be up and running tomorrow if our racetrack wasn't a charred ruin. Find out anything?
The good news is the police don't think there's any connection between this fire and the others.
And the bad news?
We don't agree. One of the three fires was definitely arson. The other two looked to be questionable.
There's something linking the incidents?
All the tracks in question had made a big commitment to opening up gaming rooms. Either they'd been redeveloped or it was in the planning stages.
Well, that sounds pretty suspicious to me.
I wish, but it isn't such a big deal. There were 15 track startups in the last 2 years, and almost every track in Ontario is getting a facelift.
Well, not surprising. Since they put in the slots, the tracks have cleared, what, more than $400 million in profit. And that only amounts to 20% of the government take.
$400 million times five. People have lost $2 billion playing racetrack slots.
In 5 years. That's $400 million a year pure profit. Every time I think of it, I get the shivers.
Ah, it's a mug's game. No skill in it at all. You're going to lose 20% of the time, day in, day out.
Unless you're Wilbur and hit the jackpot.
Ah, Wilbur. Now, how many loonies do you think he plugs into a machine before he hits? I mean, it takes less than 30 seconds to lose a buck.
Anyway, we're way off topic, aren't we? You think these fires have something to do with the clubs running slots?
Well, I did. But if adding a gaming room isn't all that exceptional...
Maybe the OPP and Sergeant Grant have got it right.
There is no pattern, so we're in the clear.
It's kind of jumping the gun, isn't it?
Maybe, but if that's all they got.
Oh, it's me. Yeah, Jack, thanks for the call. No kidding. Well, that's the pits. Yeah, I'll tell them. That was Jack Dumont at the track. They did an autopsy on Lee's girl. Found paint thinner fumes in her lungs.
Look, giving T.O. cops on a busman's holiday a briefing is one thing. I owe Jack a couple of favors, but I'm not going to let him take over my case.
We don't want to take over your case.
You realize it is imperative that this gets resolved.
You told me already. And now that we know this fire was set with criminal intent, I can promise you I'll get the perp. And I don't need any help to do it.
But if somebody's been torching other tracks, too...
There's no evidence that that's the case.
The same accelerant was used in 2 out of 4 of the fires.
Paint thinner is easy enough to come by, and until somebody proves me wrong, I'm investigating one fire.
All we're saying is you can't discount the possibility...
I am not going to let you or the OPP tramp all over my jurisdiction. Period.
If something doesn't break soon... I'll have to exercise the additional investments clause in the partnership agreement.
Section 15? I've got it here. All the limited partners will be required to provide additional funds to the corporation.
An additional 3/4 of their investment.
What happens if you invoke Section 15 and the investor can't come up with the cash?
Well, they forfeit their share and their investment.
That means Jolene and I would have to come up with almost $4,000 each. And Malcolm...
would need to raise $37,500 or lose everything.
I'm sick about it, mate.
You're sick? I'm doomed.
Okay. Wilbur was on the scene, and given his background, he's probably worked at all the courses in question.
No, don't waste your time on the little guys. Go after the owners. Dumont? The insurance has got to come in handy.
Well, that's a motive, but we'll need more than that.
I'll look into his policy, and in the meantime... you've got to check out Wilbur.
Jolene, I think maybe he'd talk to you.
Sure.
And I'm going to see if I can get in a bit of FaceTime with Ruthie. When it comes to Belleville Downs, I'll bet she knows where all the bodies are buried.
Hey!
235. Is that good?
For a pacer on a practice track? That's pathetic, which is why Rod needs me to handicap these yearlings. Oh, this next trotter should be another story. He has potential.
So, about the fire, I just figured if there was an owner who had problems, the horses are heavily insured, right?
Well, some of them. And I can name 3 owners who could use the insurance money, but it won't wash.
Why not?
There's 6 undetectable ways to destroy an animal. Why take out a barn full of your friend's ponies to get it done? Owners can be bloody-minded when necessary, but these guys all love horses.
What about Wilbur? He must have worked every track in the province.
Sure, but Wilbur start a barn fire? No way. That man, maybe he's got a problem with the slots, but not the nags. He loves them. He got himself burnt, saving a couple of them, didn't he? Makes no sense.
Dumont? We figured maybe his insurance...
No, not worth it. He's got 20 heart-sick owners that are never coming back here, no matter what, and that's real bad news. Well, wait, another possibility. Locals on a crusade. Now, down in Elmira, they shut down the local track when it tried to put in slots. So a new track with slots opened up down the road in Elora. They went ballistic.
Yeah, but it's like you say, locals. And would they torch a track 200 miles down the road?
I guess not. But... damn. I missed the timing.
So, Malk, what's the 411?
I've been looking at your cash flow.
Hmm?
If you laid off non-essential staff until we've got these problems sorted out, and then...
Well, Walsh, mate, everyone is essential, handpicked. If I lost even one of them, it would set me back months. Cost a fortune.
Well, I went by Wilbur's place. He wasn't there, but his wife was, and she was plenty upset.
What about?
She was waiting for the movers and cursing the slots.
He lost their house?
Well, now, that's jumping to a conclusion, isn't it?
It would be, if the sign on the lawn didn't say power of sale.
Oh.
Rough, huh?
Terrible. But we've got a compulsive gambler who's losing his house, and probably on the verge of losing his wife.
And he was there when the fire started and worked at the other tracks that were torched.
It's all circumstantial.
Maybe, but it's a start.
Well, have you checked him on the net? Now, if there was anything seriously incriminating in his background, you should be able to find it in cyberspace.
I checked, and didn't get a single hit. Weird, eh?
Not if it's a dead end. Now, personally, I like Jack Dumont. Now, he's been edgy as a cat since the first day I met him. Now, what about the insurance angle?
Nada. He's underinsured. The fire's gonna hurt him bad.
We've gotta go with Wilbur. We may not have much, but it's enough to make him a prime suspect.
I can never bet on the ponies. You're going up to the wicket and you know the favorite's got a bruise on a hind quarter. Or his rider's drinking again. Or maybe something even worse is going on.
It would be like profiting from the misfortunes of a friend.
That's right.
You're pretty good.
I have my moments.
How'd you make him?
I ran him through the computer. Wilbur signed himself up for the self-exclusion program in 1999.
What went wrong, then?
It was them slots. They had no call to put those things into a racetrack.
What's the self-exclusion program?
A government program set up to help compulsive gamblers.
I know you tried to get some help with your problem.
Yes, ma'am. This counselor, she told me I was a gambling addict, and I was.
The theory is, if you're excluded from the gaming rooms, you can't gamble.
Does it work?
Not for Wilbur.
So you're addicted to slots?
Yes, I am.
The thing was, he registered at Huronia the day of the first fire.
You know who's really strung out on gambling? The damn provincial politicians who don't have the guts to get the money they need from the folks who can afford to give it. No, it's tax cuts this and tax cuts that. And they can afford them cuts as long as people who got nothing in their lives but sad dreams keep buying tickets and playing slots.
People like you.
Their machines are worse than crack cocaine.
I got to thinking maybe that old guy from Toronto wasn't so stupid after all. So I dug deeper. Contacted the Kentucky State Police.
You keep hitting that button. And for a second there's a possibility spinning right before your eyes, and then it's gone. So you plug the slot and try again, and again, and again.
Back in 64, they had a racetrack fire, Lexington. Wilbur said it.
Killed me, plain and simple. Cost me the world. It's like the addiction lady said.
So I brought him in for questioning, and...
the way to escape it is to make sure. There just ain't no machines anywhere you can play them, period.
That's why you burned down all the tracks.
Yes, ma'am. I was getting pretty good at it, too. Till Belleville.
He confessed. Just like that.
Just like that. Since you were right about the pattern, I figured I owed you a call. And listen...
why the stables, Willie? It makes no sense.
I won't talk about that fire. I won't. I can't get them horses out of my head.
So, what do you think, Rod?
Kingston, it's just a little too big for a startup operation.
Come on. It's 3 weeks since Wilbur confessed, and the bills are piling up.
There is no use jumping into something that's going to lose us money. Well, look, I've got a meeting with the track owner in Milford tonight. Loves the game, loves my plan, so I must be on my way.
The track look good?
Well, it's got its problems. You know, the biggest concern is that I may still have to exercise Clause 15.
Come on, we get the bad guy and I still lose everything?
Don't despair, Malcolm. I'm still a better bet than that pacer.
It's not that funny.
Well, I'm sorry, but that guy always breaks me up. Like, man's setting up a gambling cartel and doesn't know the difference between a pacer and a trotter.
Neither do I.
That's why I get the big bucks.
Betty's boy is a trotter?
That's right.
And he thought she was a pacer? No. No, that makes no sense. Rod's father raced standardbreds in Australia. He's got to know the difference.
Look, kid, Ron Holden knows a lot about the game, but he never grew up around no stable.
I'm an idiot. A complete, total idiot. I mean, Sergeant Graham cracks this case with a B-level computer search, and I'm so happy we got the guy, I don't even worry about the fact that my search turned up squat.
Why not?
I don't know. I put it down to a glitch in this system. It's not my setup at work. No big deal. We got the guy anyway. But now... There. There it is.
There what is?
He put a filter on the office system here, blocking each and every reference to a certain Wilbur Harris. That makes me gnarly.
Sergeant Graham said... You wanted to talk to me?
That's right, Wilbur. I need your help.
Well, now, I always do anything to help a pretty girl like you, if I can.
It's about Rod Holden. You know him?
The Australian fellow? Nice guy. Came into the stables once or twice with Mr. Dumont, and I saw him in the gaming room from time to time. Why?
We have a lot of money invested with him. And it looks like we're going to lose it because of the fire.
I see. I'm sorry.
I need to know about the fire in the barns.
I can't talk about it.
I need you to, Wilbur. I need to know what really happened.
I don't know. I just found out I was losing the house. The wife threw me out for good. So I was playing the slots and drinking whiskey and sleeping in the barn. Last thing I remember, I was in the gaming room. Had a few with Mr. Holden, in fact. Oh, scotch in the slots. That's a bad bet for sure.
And later, in the barn?
I woke up to the horses screaming.
The place was already on fire.
Oh, yeah. There was this little 2-year-old trotter, fast, named Geronimo. She was rearing and kicking at the stall, her mane ablazing. And I knew right away, somehow, I did it. I did that to her. I don't deserve to live.
Why are you so sure you did it?
Well, I did it before, didn't I? Back in Kentucky when I was a kid... I was drinking and smoking in the barn. That place went up like a torch.
You made a mistake when you were a kid. That doesn't necessarily mean you made the same mistake twice.
There was a fire, wasn't there? I was in that barn. And I've been starting fires kind of regular. I crossed the line this time, is all.
What line?
I couldn't tell what I was doing anymore.
And Holden? What happened to him?
That night? I can't remember.
So what news from Hong Kong?
Wait, don't tell me.
Rod Holden doesn't exist.
Oh, he exists, all right. Retired. Owns a small island in the Marshall chain. The big news is he weighs 350 pounds and never, ever gets his picture taken. Of course, I found our Mr. Holden's picture on the net. Posted on an obscure news group where only a very diligent nerd like Malcolm Fieldstein would ever track it down. Hey, that's Rod Holden. I know him. Duh.
So our Rod Holden stole the real man's identity.
And used his cyberspace savvy to sell me on it.
And we can place him with Wilbur the night of the fire.
Wilbur blamed himself because he'd set the other fires. He confessed because he couldn't stand what he'd done. But he didn't do it, did he?
Holden set the fire. He had to. But did he know he was setting up Wilbur?
No way. In fact, he outsmarted himself. He put the filter on my search engine after he realized we were investigating Wilbur.
Guess he was worried Wilbur's arrest would short-circuit his con. He really needed to exercise Section 15.
Right. It practically doubled his money.
Which is a very good idea if you're planning to split with the cash. Who are you calling?
Sergeant Graham. I'm afraid Roddy picked a loser.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell him he just ran out of luck.
Yeah. And the game is over.
You have been listening to Odds Against Tomorrow, this week's episode of our series, The Old Guy, by Paul Ledoux. Featured in the cast tonight, Robert Haley as Charlie McMahon, William Colgate as Kirk, Ryan Rogerson as Malcolm, Karen Glaive as Jolene. With them, you also heard Arden Bess as Wilbur Harris, Dennis O'Connor as Jack Dumont, Ted Atherton as Rod Holden, Elizabeth Brown as Jane Graham, and Brenda Robbins as Ruthie Fisher. The music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. The recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Colleen Woods was the associate producer. The program was produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. Most series of The Mystery Project are available to you on CD. Visit our webpage at www.cbc.ca/mysteryproject and discover the link at the bottom of the front page called How to Purchase. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week.